So when God said, let there be light, he created a thing called light. It was not void or nothing or vacuum or what people see when they look up and they think that there's endless space, right? God didn't create endless space. He created things, angels, right? All kinds of rock mountains eventually on the third day were developed. Water. Right? There was waters below, waters above. There's water something, right? We did, without it, we're dead. So there is nothing created that doesn't have a definition, right? So if you think about the earth as a container and the firmament separating earth from heaven and the waters above is heaven, right? If you think of it like that, and then on the fourth day, God puts the sun, moon, and stars up there, the space between the stars is for times and seasons. So how the stars are lit up and bigger stars, little stars, and the structure of the stars talks to the human on the earth, which is a thing. We are an entity. We occupy space, though we move around, just like animals move around, just like fish move around. The stars are in a structured order. The sun is in a structured circuit. The moon, because it's built with a purpose. Right? Void or endless expansion has no purpose. Everything God did had it. It takes up space. It has a definition. It has a purpose in God's world that he created from looking down at the dark abyss of confusion and chaos. It's not like he created everything out of nothing. It's not like absolute nothingness was here. There was something here. It was called chaos. It was the deep. And God looked at the deep, the spirit of the Lord, the multifacetedness of God. And we're in God in the end, by the way. But being that at the beginning, there was unity and purpose and there was intentionality looking at chaos, saying, I'm going to create something. Everything that was created in those six literal 24-hour days has a purpose, even the space between the stars and heavens, because they create a sign. They tell us something because of the structure. And the sun obviously has a purpose, and the moon obviously has a purpose. But not to go up there and live. We are earth dwellers because we're made of dust. Thus, we have purpose on the dust that we were made from. We need the nourishment of the dirt. The things that grow out of the dirt. We need the air that has a water content in it. We need the atmospheric pressure that we operate in, right? We don't need anything above the surface of the earth other than to travel, which is an airplane. But the airplane doesn't work in a vacuum. It only works where there's weight to the air. So that every cubic yard of air that goes through a jet engine is playing a role to allow the engine to move through the air, right? The road plays a role with a tire and a car and a wheel to get us from one place. Everything plays a functional role in the way things are. So to say that you live on a spinning ball, you just lost locality, but you also lost purpose because you're going around the sun how long? And when Jesus comes down, it says all his enemies are at his feet, and then he dwells on the earth. Well, how do you bring all of that chaotic space, void, black holes, dark matter that they've created in your mind? How do you bring all that under his feet? It's not real. That's how you do it. You do it with what I'm saying right now. You mark it as false information and false pictures, a magic show, a show on a stage, right? Behind the curtain, you say, hey, it's not that, it's that. And that's what I'm doing. And I'm doing some of this very critical to prepare for the final great deception. This function of me doing all these talks and bringing people back to the word, the simple word, right? Explaining what it means to be born again, what it means to be filled with the Spirit, what it means to walk with God, what it means to subdue the earth, what it means to procreate, what it means to be a father or a mother or any of that, or what holy marriage is all of us are purposeful. All of us take up a location doing things with talents and gifts that we have. That's how you restore the human being. That's how you bring the gospel. You bring it all in. You don't just say, oh, you want to not go to hell? Come to the front of the church and confess your sins. But what sins have we committed? We don't even know the law we broke. We don't even know that saying we live on a spinning, spiraling ball going around the sun that they worship, the dark forces worship, or it's a lie that they've created. They don't worship the sun. They just created the lie, the false entities that tell the humans to worship the sun. They don't worship the sun. They know that God is the only God. They know this, the truth is the truth. But they're deceivers. That's all they do. They wake up and deceive, or they live every day deceiving, and they're good at it. And humans have one defense, truth, and that defense is the Word of God. Without the Word of God, you can't find truth. God loves us so much, He gave us words. And without words, you can't be saved from the wrath of God. You have to listen to the messenger. You have to listen to the report. You have to read the peace treaty. You have to be ye reconciled unto God, which is words, which is understanding, which is through the Holy Spirit, so that your locality, which is you, your soul, is a real thing that's going to occupy space forever. Where it occupies space is based on words and the consumption of truth. If you don't eat that manna, that hidden manna, if you don't eat that truth, if you don't consume it and let it nourish yourself, meaning you don't look at the word, you consume the word, you meditate on the word, you'll be like a tree planted by living water. And what is that water? Is it not the throne? The throne puts out the rivers of life. What do trees need? We are like trees, right? We're planted. We're in the root of Jesse. We're the branch grafted into all the promises to Abraham. Forget Jews, Israel. Abraham was a Babylonian. What makes a Jew is the promise to Abraham of his seed. He was not Jewish. It's the seed. It's so really a Jew is a promise. Israel is a promise of God. It's redemption. It's a plan of salvation. And Jesus, God Himself, becoming human, comes through the promise, which is words, which is a covenant word promise to us. So if God changes His mind on Abraham's seed, He changes His mind on everything, and therefore He's not God. At that point, He becomes something less than God. God Almighty, Yahweh, the King of Kings. We can't say Lord of Hosts. We can't say any of those adjectives about God if He breaks His covenant with Abraham's physical seed.